Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, the best bits of this afternoon's show. We chatted about a new sport today, axe throwing.
Yeah.
It's getting big amongst the bearded trendies of our nation.
Good. Ashley Blaker, the...
Comedian
and part-time rabbi, I suppose.
Are you sure about that? And Liverpool fan. He's a Liverpool fan.
Has he got an interesting new tour, though?
Yeah. He was on very good form today. And also... we had a bit of Don't Ask Me, didn't we?
Yeah, good.
And
that's it.
Yeah, so here it all is.
For me, the big question of the final day
is
why was Yaya Toure wearing a dinner jacket? Was he going on somewhere?
He probably was. Yeah.
A normal shirt and tie, but a very strange jacket.
There was a TV show many years ago called Greaves's Gaff, the great Jimmy Greaves, when he was doing a lot of work up in the Midlands. Had a show, and it was like Jim had an open house, and guests would just sort of arrive. And it was a sort of chat show in Jim's kitchen, and they'd set up the studio. It looked like Jimmy Greaves' kitchen when he was, and there was one particular one we watched when we did fantasy football, and Linda Lusardi was one of Jimmy's guests, and she was in the kitchen. They had a 5-minute chat about glamour modelling and other stuff, and then suddenly the doorbell goes. God blimey, I wonder who that is, says Jim, and he goes to the door, and it's Fred Truman, the demon bowler, Yorkshire and England. But Fred, much like Yaya Toure, is in a full evening suit, and no one else is dressed. He's just turned up at Jim's house. But then he explains it on air. He says, I'm going on to a function, Jim. I hope you don't mind. Couldn't he have got changed in the green room? Or couldn't they give him a dressing room at Central? Anyway,
the best thing about that show, though, was, in fact, where he interviewed Frank Bruno. But Frank Bruno was pre-recorded on film.
He was on film,
so
that's
right. Like a live interview, except it was one person was in the TV studio on a TV camera and the other person was film.
Yeah.
My old Frank Bruno.
That's what he called him. Yeah, good old Jim.
Tremendous.
Anyway, move on.
Talking of TV, can I ask both TV companies, Sky and BT, not to schedule any Chelsea games on their channels next season? You've just got to spare the neutrals from Sarri ball.
Yeah,
we can't let the children see this.
The only 0-0 of the day, wasn't it, Andy?
On a high-scoring, end of season, typical, let the players relax. Yes, no goals where Chelsea are involved. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Well, I mean, Leicester played their part as well, didn't they? Really? They didn't score either. You can't just blame
one of the Chelsea beat reporters, Nizar Kinsella, he's the Chelsea correspondent for Goal. He tweeted out, he said, anybody got any questions for Maurizio Sarri? And mine was, can I have my season ticket money back? I'm just wondering.
Okay, well, that's
so enjoyable. It's been such an enjoyable
season. You finished third and you've got to a cup final. You're going to another cup final.
We tackled this on Friday, but you know, that's not really the point. You know, so we'll talk more of this on Motti. Did you watch the IPL final?
I saw bits of it. I've not watched it all. Was it fantastic?
As exciting as the football was last week. It was, what a brilliant game of cricket. I mean, I've never seen an IPL game shift the momentum so much.
Yeah.
Within one, literally from ball to ball, from over to over. It was unbelievable. Went down to the last ball. And
that's what you want from a tournament, isn't it, really? A bit like the Premier League.
An incredible redemption for Lasith Malinga, who had gone for 42 off three overs. I mean, really was pathetic. And he had to bowl the last over and they needed two off the last ball to win Chennai, and he got a wicket. He got the blow out, and that was it.
The new stadium has meant that I'm now able to follow, because of the Wi-Fi there, I'm able to follow what goes on the last day without having a transistor radio.
Oh, that's good.
Whatever happened to
whatever
them.
That is.
But I needn't have bothered checking it on my phone, really.
Yeah.
I needn't have bothered checking my phone because I was kept in touch with the scoreline of the game between Brighton and Manchester City via the Everton fans.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So you all knew, basically, either Wolves had equalised or there'd been another goal for City. So they kept us informed.
It was very lucky. You know, it was a very enjoyable... For about 21 minutes, there was a period where Liverpool were winning the title, and that was pretty exciting. And, you know, considering it all went to the last... I've heard people say, oh, it wasn't that great a league and there's only two teams in it.
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake, I don't know what you want. I mean, neither of these teams strolled their way to the title. Every game, really, for City, 1-0.
Yeah.
All right, the last game, they won 4-1. But even that was a little bit tricky.
And we have seen this stat, haven't we, that, you know, people have been, they say, conveniently forgetting that Liverpool were 7 points clear around Christmas. Mm. But they had a blip, and City had a blip. And the reason they got in that position is that City had a blip as well, to an extent. So that can always happen this season. I don't think you can give Liverpool a coaching for that.
I think it'd be unlikely Liverpool are going to go another season only losing one game. That's a pretty, even great teams. You know, it's unusual, but... You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think they're in better shape. We'll talk to Motti about this. I think they're in better shape transfer-wise than City. City need to do more. I'm not saying they can't, but it depends on how they're affected by what's going on with UEFA. But they need to do more than Liverpool. Liverpool pretty much...
They need to do more business, you think?
I think they do, yeah. Mm. You know, they've got players who are ageing. Company, Fernandinho. Aguero, surprisingly, only 30, but he's got a lot of miles on the clock. Mm. And, you know, he's still brilliant, but he's going to need replacing at some point. I did a classic there yesterday.
I think they've got the money.
Oh, where? But can they spend it? That's the question. Yeah, they've got the money, but can they spend it? Mahrez was a strange choice for me on the day. And I just wrote this down. He's just not City quality. Mahrez!
It was one of those, was it?
Yeah, next to it. Brilliant.
What did you do? How did you watch it? Did you stick with one game yesterday?
No,
because obviously I was at the match. So
I did basically what Match of the Day did as a TV producer.
Oh, so you cut. Did you have a vision mixer in the house?
I didn't need to. What I did was I started at Anfield, because if Liverpool didn't score, there would be no race. I waited till Liverpool scored. Fine. Over to Brighton Man City, because that then became the game, because if City didn't score, Liverpool were going to win it. And I just kept switching back. And I kept switching back just to see in Schadenfreude's style. Every time City scored, I wanted to see how they were reacting at Anfield. But they did that. BT started putting a box. Not BT, Sky rather. Started putting up a box of that. So, you know.
But we said, I take it all the pictures last week from the Champions League game were supplied by UEFA. And obviously they just re-commentated by the various channels. But the pictures are coming centrally, aren't
isn't
they?
Isn't it host broadcaster for the country? I don't know, but
UEFA have their own in-house. They do all their Champions League football, don't they?
I thought they used local people.
Anyway, the point I'm making is we never got a chance to talk about this, and I can't quite believe why. But you must have felt whoever was vision mixing the day was a Liverpool fan, because when Liverpool scored at the end, when Origi scored. You suddenly got it was the Tottenham game, wasn't it? I do apologise. It must have been the Spurs game, because you got that kind of shot of Son and... blimey, I'm doing well, aren't I? It was Kane and...
But I did this, you slaughtered me for being old. The milk bottles are outside.
I've got completely the wrong day and the wrong game. But I think it might have been Sanchez and Kane. They cut to them in what looked like a shot from 5 minutes before, because they weren't celebrating the goal when it went in.
Yeah.
And then you've got a little flash frame of Peter Wharton. You know, like it's almost like blink and you miss it. You had to go back. So something went bad.
Was he celebrating Peter?
Yeah, he was. No, he was, didn't he? Peter's gone up. Yeah. He's celebrating Tottenham's goal. I just think he was caught in the moment.
But it's
almost
football,
like
probably.
Subliminal advertising. I wanted to go out that afternoon and buy a Peter Wharton, but I wasn't aware of why. But now, because it was a flash frame, the way they used to do that. I went into a couple of shops, said, I'd like to buy a Peter Wharton, please. This week.
He hasn't got a book out.
Try BT Sport. But it worked for me. Anyway, I got the wrong game and the wrong match, but what are you going to do?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, how are the Liverpool fans feeling today? Well, we have one in the studio, and so we're about to find out. He's on tour with a fellow Liverpool fan, two men who bonded over their love of Jurgen Klopp and his team, Imran Yusuf and Ashley Blake. Good to see you, Ashley. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm upbeat.
Yeah, I noticed that from your tweets, actually. Like an awful lot of Liverpool fans. I've heard people talk. I felt a bit like that. I'm in the haven't won a trophy club as well as a Spurs fan. But you think of the kind of the great. This has not been our greatest season, but here we are still in fourth. This manager has given us lots of great memories and hopefully another one, not from your point of view, obviously, but a Champions League final. So, I feel okay. The fact we haven't fluked our way to a League Cup doesn't make me think any less of this manager or this club.
It's really weird. Look, I get it. Football's a very tribal thing. But you get all these supporters of other teams crowing and loving the fact that Liverpool came second on 97 points and got so close. Surely, unless I've missed the point of league football, isn't the point to come as high as you can?
Hmm.
Only one team can win the league out of 20. So isn't it better to come second on 97? Than to come sixth on 60.
Oh, yeah, it's much better.
I don't know, surely. I think you've done as well as you can. You can't win the league every year. They haven't won the league for 30 years. Okay, but, we keep trying.
That's the reason.
Yeah.
It's that. It's that thing. And it's going to happen again in the final. That Klopp's a brilliant manager. He's done a wonderful job. But he has got, even he's acknowledged, he's got this thing about being the runner-up.
Yeah.
And, lose the final, then the questions will be asked again.
Of course. But, I'd love to think, and I think Liverpool will have a good season next year. I don't think they're going to fade away, but I'm not going to say with any certainty that they're going to win the league next year, because Man City are an amazing side. And they're going to spend more money probably than anyone else, and it's going to be harder again. So what can you do? But all you can do is try and do as well as you can. Look, at the start of the season, if someone said to me, you're going to lose one game and get 97 points, you'd have snapped their hand off.
Well, yeah, of course you would.
You just, very unfortunate, there's another team who's even better.
And the game against Barca was just incredible. Well, exactly. A Liverpool fan, I couldn't imagine you can remember it.
Well, exactly. Had that not happened, then maybe we'd all be a bit more downbeat now, because the season would have ended on a bit of a flat note. But we've got that game to look forward to. And, it's... It feels more positive than negative.
Mm. So you're touring with Imran Yusuf, profit sharing with the sale line. Two great religions.
Very, very good title.
Yeah, see what we've done there.
Yeah, very
good. So, you two are both Liverpool fans, is that
we
right?
We are both Liverpool supporters. And there you go, two religions, but one faith. And that's the thing that brought us together. That's not what we're talking about, though. So,
there's no football in it?
Not really. So no. Hopefully it won't.
So are you on stage together, or is it half an
hour?
There's
parts that we're on stage together. There are parts that we're on stage separately on our own. And it's good. It's something that we both did our own Edinburgh shows this past year. You came to see my show, didn't you?
I remember.
And then we just had the idea. You know what? It'd be quite fun to do something together like this. And you know what? Without wanting to sound incredibly serious, suddenly. I think actually there's never been a more important time for Jews and Muslims to come together. You know,
it's positive, terrible. Isn't it? It's a positive thing.
Well, there's such a worrying rise in far-right hatred we see across the world. And so it's really important. We're better together than we are apart, put it like that.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
So the sort of, you say you're going to do some of the show jointly.
On stage at the same time, at which I think, I don't know what's going to happen. I think peace will be declared in the Middle East. And
it'd be nice thing that by the end of the tour that will have happened.
Netanyahu and Abbas will have declared love for each other. Jeremy Corbyn will disappear in a puff of smoke. It's all going to happen.
Because members of the Trump family promised they would make that happen, but that hasn't happened yet. So the fact that you and Imran can maybe do that might be quite.
Have you tried it yet? Have you tried the show?
Kind of yes and no, but not the points of being together on stage, interacting with each other. I'm a big one for thinking until you're in front of the audience, until then. It's like taking penalties in practice. Until you're taking those penalties in front of 100,000 fans in a stadium, it's a totally different thing.
Why Liverpool for you then, Ashley? Remind us.
Why Liverpool? Because I wanted to give myself 29 years of thinking, when's it going to happen?
Yeah.
When is it going to happen? Look, I was, I suppose, I've been punished for being a child of the... I was born in 1975. So
right.
You can do the math. But
so you came to football in the sort of mid-80s when they did the double under Kenny?
Late 70s, early 80s.
Okay, And so that's when you picked up on it.
Yeah, no, definitely. But look, it's never been a better time. And I love Klopp. I mean, I do love Klopp.
He's
one of the things I love about Klopp is his use of the word cool. that he uses cool for everything. Mm. So if something is good, if we'd have won the league, he'd said, oh, that is so cool. But if anything is terrible, he just says, not cool. That was not cool. Mm. Which makes it sound not that bad. If you said to him, Jürgen, well, you know, what did you think of the Black Death? The Black Death was not cool. Suddenly, it doesn't sound that bad. Doesn't sound bad when you say it's not cool.
Do you prefer his old smoker's teeth or his new GTI Brendan Rodgers?
I like the teeth. Firmino's, I think, are even better.
I like the Klopp grimace when the other team score. I quite enjoy that sort of half smile, half agony.
Mm. But you know, maybe that's why he had the teeth done in order to do that.
Probably did. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he is a fantastic character.
He is. You am I right in thinking you were the producer of Little Britain?
Yes,
you were. Correct, somebody said to me, this is interesting because we both share this thing, that someone said to me about Little Britain, they said it about fantasy football that I produced, that you couldn't do those shows today, that a lot of it in there would be politically unacceptable.
Matt Lucas has spoken about that, hasn't he, recently? I read an interview. So much of what you did in that show would not.
No, 100%. I've been in America the last 7 months. I've only just got back. I've been living in New York for 7 months. And I've spoken to a lot of people about some of the things that happen in British comedy. And we're particularly talking about blackface, because in America that is just such a huge no-no. And obviously, look, you produced Fantasy Football and obviously the Jason Lee pineapple and head sketches, but then in Come Fly With Me, which I had nothing to do with, but there's lots of that. And it's amazing how comedy has moved on in a very short amount of time, because Come Fly With Me wasn't even that long ago. And yet, those characters, you can't imagine making a show like that now.
And from what Matt Lucas was saying, it wasn't just that he said, oh, I couldn't make that show anymore, and he was bemoaning it. He said, I almost wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that now.
Well, I can't speak for him, but I mean, I can understand why. I mean, obviously, pervading... these things change.
Yeah,
in the way that attitudes to, I don't know, homosexuality have changed incredibly in our lifetime. I mean, these, you know, attitudes do change, and hopefully for the better, but not always, unfortunately.
So how much the show, I mean, obviously you'll be talking religion to an extent in a funny way, but what other aspects will kind of come up within the show?
Well, the show is about really our unusual journeys to being the people we are today. I think that's really what it's about. Certainly from my point of view, it's, you know, I was a, as I've spoken about on this show before, I was an incredibly, I would say Liverpool was my religion.
Yeah.
I mean, I missed something like 4 matches in 7 years, home, away, Europe. I was going to games, I mentioned this actually in the show. Liverpool once played at a friendly at Bournemouth. Mid-season, it was February, it was for their centenary. And the Liverpool ticket office phoned me and said, would you go to the game? And I said, it's my friend Edward from Warrington who had a seat next to me. Is he going? And they said, yeah, we just called him. He says, he'll go if you go. And then my then girlfriend, who's now my wife, was convinced I was cheating on her because she couldn't find any mention of the game in the papers. I was going to matches even the newspapers didn't know about. That's how obscure they were. Wow. So I've clearly got a terribly flawed personality, obsessive compulsive personality, and I think at one point, I think it's probably because we signed El Hadji Diouf, Salif Diao, and Bruno Giroud, I thought, this religion's not working, I need to try something else. And so I kind of took all my passion for that and took it into this.
Wow.
And they're quite similar. It's just, you just got to remember, you just got to learn a few new songs.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, you can't go to synagogue and start chanting, one chosen people. There's only one chosen people. They don't like that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I was just looking at the Formula One channel. They were showing that old footage from the late 50s and 60s, you know, when the driver pulls into the pit and the guy starts filling, he's got like a fag in his mouth and he's putting the petrol
in
the
car. It wasn't quite so health and safety in F1 in those days, were there? That's very true.
Wasn't it? And I don't know if you saw yesterday.
While we're talking F1, we have found that clip. Valtteri Bottas is doing rather well at the moment. He's driving rather well.
We can hear that. Yeah.
But in his early days, the Moose was struggling, I think, with the correct pronunciation of his name, so he gave them all a go.
Williams driver Valtteri Bottas has also been past fit. Meanwhile, the Williams driver Valtteri Bottas has also been past fit. He's been past fit. The Williams driver Valtteri Bottas has also been past fit after a back injury. And Fernando Alonso and the Williams driver Valtteri Bottas have both been past fit.
Me and my very good friend Valtteri.
Valtteri will get you nowhere. Good old Moose.
Yes, you know, I've often over the years monitored the goals that hit the keeper's towel, the perfect hit the towel. Bamian did it yesterday. Tom Heaton had a towel hanging out right in the angle, perfect.
With a volley. He just aimed for the towel.
I honestly believe this, it gives the striker a target point.
Right.
And he hit it beautifully. So,
do you think strikers need a target point? Surely the net itself is the target point.
Of course it is, but that apps, you know, there's a point where it's unsavable.
Yeah.
You know, when it goes in the angle. So why
so you think
don't put the towel at
an unsavable point.
Put it in the center of the goal where it doesn't matter if the keeper if he aims at it because it'll go straight
why
at you.
Why don't you just rest it on top of the bar? That's not a bad idea, is it?
No,
because if they aim for it
by the side of the goal, I say either by the side of the goal or at the back of the centre, but don't put it in the angle like that. So honestly, you're asking for trouble.
I don't know what this stat tells us.
Great goalkeeping advice.
Yeah, thank you very much, Andy Jacobs. You're not a bad keeper yourself.
Oh, fabulous.
Karen Brady's column in The Sun the other day, she added this little footnote. She said, an embarrassed Stoke fan revealed Lionel Messi with his 600 goals in 14 years with Barcelona has scored more than the Potters in the same time.
Well, all right.
I mean,
what's that got to do with
it? I didn't know why. It just happened to be a stat, but I had absolutely no opinion on it, good, bad, or indifferent. It just was a number.
Yeah.
Does it surprise you?
Well,
Lionel Messi scored more goals than the whole of Stoke City in the same period.
What if it had all been from a long throw? A Roy did that long throw.
All headers from a long throw.
But other than that, no, not really. There was a very good... the Wolves midfielder ran off the shot. There was a very good... here's Johnny.
Well, Steve Wilson was tweeting about it earlier on the commentary.
Oh, really? Did he do it deliberately?
He had it in the bank.
He did it deliberately.
I think we all knew that. Talking of Johnny, Andy, he's been in the news as well. Because something he's not got round to doing since he got to Wolverhampton is try a bit of local cuisine. But he said he's going to put that right over the summer. Well, that's not really summer fare.
What is it?
It's faggots.
Really?
It's he's not sampled.
You don't need to dump it. It's a type of food.
Yeah. looking at the producer. The producer's gone into meltdown stand.
Meltdown.
You don't need to dump it. It's a type of food. Dear me. Well, we've come to this. Yeah. Now, let me explain to our 12-year-old producer what faggots are, because he hasn't lived through a war, he won't know what they are. Basically, faggots, and they describe like this. I'm sure you'll be rushing straight off to your local supermarket and buying some, because faggots, we're told, over the weekend, use up all the bits of a pig that would otherwise be discarded. Yum, yum.
Oh, dear.
The liver, the heart and other innards are minced up with onions and sage and wrapped in a fatty membrane.
Isn't that what wicket keepers wear?
Remember fatty innards. Membrane? Your public school?
Yeah.
You couldn't call him that now, quite right, too.
No.
Any other members of the membrane family, apologies on our behalf. But, yeah. But... I quite like the faggot. I've not had one for a while. Have you had one?
Fatty membranes, hello. Yeah.
You've not had one. No, you don't look the sort of bloke would ever eat that sort of thing. But they're nice. They're nice. They're really tasty.
Not for me.
As Johnny
same,
is
same
about
as
to
the
find.
Pork scratching. Not
Johnny said, or one with a little beard. Pork scratching with a small Jimmy Hill beard. Marvellous.
Brought back to sport.
After football, when you've had a bit of a sweat on, you need a bit of salt back in your system.
Well,
there's no finer thing.
Oh, really? Okay.
Obviously, with a drink.
after
you've refuelled.
Okay, lads, here's your refuelling.
Here we go, boys.
Pork scratching.
I don't want you drinking
that.
Well, I know, Eddie. Johnny, I've got a quote from Johnny here. I haven't seen this plate yet, he says. He calls it a plate.
Platter.
But when I do see it, I will try it. Of course I will. I want to discover English culture and experience local things. So good luck, Johnny. Enjoy your faggots.
Yeah. I was reading about a guy who's done tremendous in a weight loss thing. He was 19 stone 5 pounds. He's now 12 stone 9 pounds.
Good work.
Exercises. And they did this, the before and after diet. And the before was just incredible. And the breakfast, nothing, which is often people who are overweight do this. They think skipping breakfast will help. It doesn't. And lunch was a sausage sandwich and 5 bags of crisps. 5 in one sitting. You get bored. I wonder if they were different flavours.
5 bags of
crisps.
Could
you eat 5 bags of...
5 bags?
Could I
eat 5 bags of crisps?
Yeah, in one go.
I don't know. I've never tried.
I bet you could.
Do you want me to?
No, not really.
Okay.
Can we congratulate before we do anything else?
Oh, yeah.
Another tremendous man of the match performance from Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, I know. He played ice hockey. Yeah.
8 goals he got again. I mean, honestly, the opposition, I don't know. You know, he's just tremendous.
Did you see him fall over, wave into the crowd? That wasn't reported as widely as his 8 goals.
No, he did go flying, didn't he?
Now, the battle between the new Spurs stadium and some upgrades at the Emirates are going to continue. And Daniel Levy, he's decided that he's going to convert the press conference auditorium into a private cinema.
Ooh.
It'll open for business over the summer, we were told in the Times at the weekend. There's an HD cinema screen behind the backdrop used to advertise all the club sponsors at post-match press conferences. So he's going to start renting out to watch all the latest movies.
Penny pinching, isn't it? A bit desperate.
But Arsenal, they can't do a beam back of the Europa League final because they're doing work on the Emirates at the moment. And among the work they're doing in the corporate stuff... is a new private member club at the executive box level. The club says it will offer panoramic views of the pitch and a live-action chef station.
Ooh.
That's Daniel Levy. He's definitely phoned up the old architect saying, I want a live-action chef. If they've got one, we want
Moose
one as well.
Like a live-action chef station.
He'd certainly love a live-action chef station.
Do you want a bit of a T20 birthday spread? Is Pelé available?
Yeah, he's always available, yeah.
Well, no,
I've
tremendous.
Got to guess this person's age.
But guess this person's age while I just while we're waiting for Pelé, I'll just try and find it. Here it is.
Yeah, and I've got to be within how many years of getting it right?
I think this could be difficult. I think this could be a 10-yearer.
Okay, then go on then.
10-yearer. It's a very, very happy birthday to the theatrical designer and 6-time BAFTA winner, Eileen Diss. D-I-S-S, Eileen Diss.
Yeah.
I was at a party, actually, with her and MC Hammer. I had to warn him not to approach her.
Yes, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did, Andy.
Thank you very much.
Wise words. 86.
Sorry. Yes, she is, in fact, 88.
Oh, come on. Tremendous. Just 2 out, so well within the spread.
And from the same area, and probably I've said this.
It's going to have to be quick, Andy.
Very, very quick. Duke of York this afternoon departed Heathrow Airport for the Republic of Korea. Mrs. Amanda Thirsk was in attendance, and he just couldn't wait to get away from her. Yes, he was racing from Thirsk.
Thank you. Same time. Did you do that last week?
No, I did it last year, but it all merges into one.
Oh dear.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
A fast-growing sport in this country.
Read about it.
Popular already in the States. Axe throwing. There are a number of axe throwing clubs opening around the country, and the people behind them are Whistlepunks. And Jules Whitehall joins us. Good afternoon, Jules.
Hi there.
Yeah, I was watching a program called The Good Fight, American drama, and one of the women in it was featured doing this.
Yeah.
And I thought, what an interesting idea. And then I read about it yesterday, because it's a great way of releasing energy.
Well, it's big in the States, Jules, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. In the States and Canada, it's massive. It's growing every day, more and more places setting up, and lots of people getting to enjoy it.
When did it start becoming a sort of leisure pursuit, then?
It's only been the last few years, really. The first one set up in Canada in about 2011, but then it's only really in the last kind of 3 years since we started about 3 years ago that it's really started gathering pace, as you say, certainly in the US and Canada, and we've been growing in the UK and seeing a lot more in Europe, Australia, Thailand and beyond, all over the place.
When I was watching it, it did look just like it was a release for the character in this drama, but I read yesterday it's a competitive sport. So how does that work as a competition?
Well, every time someone comes to play with us, it is a competitive sport. It's side by side. Every time you're throwing at a target, you're doing it next to someone else. So each axe you throw, each point you score is head to head with someone else. And that's really the kind of fun of it. So you get that real physical release of just throwing something a bit weighty at a wall and doing something that it feels like you shouldn't be allowed to do. And also that thrill of like every time you do it, seeing how you fare against the person next to you.
Now, all these kind of sport as a bit of a social event things tend to be in bars, don't they? People have a few drinks, they play a little bit of crazy golf, they possibly throw some
bowling,
darts, or they do stuff like that, or they play table tennis, as we know, in many of the chains around the country. But obviously you want to keep fairly sober if you're throwing axes, Jules, don't you?
Well, I mean, we are, you know, right in the middle of that competitive social trend, like you say, amongst the table tennis and the darts and the crazy golf and that sort of thing. And at the moment, we don't serve alcoholic drinks, but in our upcoming venues and very soon, we're going to be running a bar alongside it. At the moment, we have to make sure that everyone's behaving well anyway. Our instructors are there overseeing every single throw right next to people, making sure they have a great time and they're doing it very safely. And we can't stop people having a drink outside the venue before they come in to see us. So we're already vetting people on behaviour every time they step up to the line already. So we'd much rather kind of give people a much more relaxed pace, let them enjoy a whole sort of night with us, have a couple while they throw, nice and relaxed, have a good time, and then continue on with us afterwards. But yeah, absolutely, there's no letting people get drunk and throw things all around the place and behave badly, because it's very, very closely monitored.
I would imagine health and safety would be crawling all over your establishment.
But there's a waiver, according to this article yesterday in the Sunday Times, the customers have to sign a waiver stating they're not drunk or on drugs.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Because obviously, being drunk in charge of a table tennis racket, a table tennis bat is slightly different to an axe, isn't it, Jules?
Yeah, that's right. And as I said, like, you know, our real kind of our line of defence here is, yes, we get people to sign a waiver just to make sure they're paying attention, saying, you know, they're not on drugs or anything that we can't tell. But, you know, people aren't always that honest about things. So it's part of one of the many things we put in place. And the instructors there are the ones who are talking to the customers, giving them their safety briefing, watching them throw, teaching them how to do it safely. But also, you know, if someone can't throw an axe safely, whether that's because of something they've drunk or just because they're not capable of throwing it safely or they're not paying attention, then that's when they're excluded.
What's the buzz then of throwing an axe at a target?
The buzz?
Yeah.
Well, I think you've really got to try it to really get a handle on it. But it's like I say, it's something that it's something you're not allowed to do or shouldn't be allowed to do. Mm. A lot of people say that when they come in, they kind of very gingerly pick up the axe the first time and throw it kind of a bit gently because they're a bit worried about what will happen when it gets to the other end. And it is something that's a very physical experience. It's not, you know, they're not heavy axes, they're not difficult to throw, but in itself, it's kind of a physical experience that provides that kind of release and that kind of thrill. So it's not something kind of so gentle that you're not kind of stirred by it, but it's not so physical that it's difficult to pick up and play.
How do you score, though? You say it's competitive. You go side by side.
Just target. It's just got targets like you would if it's targets. Archery or something.
Oh, it's like that.
I would imagine. So I'm just guessing, Jules. Is it a sort of archery-based target system or what?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, we have a big bullseye in the middle. So we got 5 points in the middle, then 3 points, 1 point, and there are a couple of smaller circles in the far corners for if you're feeling really good and you fancy trying your arm at a 7-pointer. So we get people on and they do 5 throws head to head, and that constitutes a round of throws. And whoever has the most points after 5 throws, they've won that round, and then we can go on like that.
Brilliant. Look, thanks for telling us all about it, Jules. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Hope to see you down there soon.
Yeah, we'll do. The co-founder of Whistle Punks there. We'll take
our
mob.
Why do they have to fire an employee?
Well, that's the always worry about. Yeah, imagine one of the instructors. We've got to let you go. I think you're fine. You won't. They're in London. They're in Manchester, in Birmingham. They're about to open in Bristol later on this year. They're called Whistle Punks. If you want to go and throw some axes. Some people say, I feel like a Viking. It's quite primal. And one guy in the paper said his missus has learned to throw 2 axes simultaneously.
Wow.
So that is... But maybe they could bring back a kind of version of bullseye with axe throw. The non-axe thrower to throw first. Be good one. In one. Not a bad idea, is it?
Well, no,
move it on from
really
the darts. Yeah, you're going to give it a go, Andy? I can see you. You'll be lethal.
No,
you'd be lethal with an axe. That wouldn't
I'd
be
have
great.
The question about the
your
ping,
eyesight.
The ping pong bat being less lethal than the axe.
Well, it was still...
Although, to be honest, Matthew Syed once came at me with the...
Well, imagine someone like Matthew Syed on with a table tennis bat. Could do a lot of damage, couldn't he?
Could.
Just a flick of the wrist, he could take you out.
Take me right out.
Yeah.
Good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Don't ask me...
5 questions based on last week's shows, Andy, only in 4 days. So on Friday, we spoke to Mark Smith. He's a comedian. He supports which team?
Derby.
Well done. Tom Corley, the musician, joined us as well, Lincoln City fan, has a new jazz album out called what?
Catanaccio.
Oh, well done, Andy. Good work.
Hello. Come in.
Yeah, Rick Riley joined us from Sports Illustrated. He's written a book about Donald Trump, as we know. The book is called...
All the President's Men.
No, it's a different book. It's golf related. It's kind of golf and his dishonesty.
First Lord of Cheating.
First.
It's something to do with the President's title and cheating.
It's Commander in Chief.
Ah, that's it. See, I knew.
We'll leave it. Oh, yeah, just a quick one. Lloyd Griffiths joined us on Tuesday. He's got a new show on Netflix. It's called...
Grimsby are great.
Flinch.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Here we are. That was this afternoon's show. We return tomorrow from 1. Until then, Andy, have you got anything else to say? Are you done?
Done.
Good. Okay. Well, thanks for downloading us.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.